Spirit Catholic Radio presents Holiness Helpers. Join members of the Pro-Sanctity Movement of Omaha in growing in holiness to become saints in the making. Now, Holiness Helpers.
This Holiness Helpers radio program is offered as a part of the Pro-Sanctity Movement. The Pro-Sanctity Movement is an international movement in the Church dedicated to spreading the universal call to holiness. The Pro-Sanctity Movement was founded in Italy in 1947 by Bishop Jacquinta and is comprised of lay people, consecrated people, and priests. The apostolate includes retreats, summer camp for girls, college and young adult ministry, parish work, secular jobs, spiritual direction, and family formation. The work of the Pro-Sanctity Movement is led by the Apostolic Oblates belonging to the Secular Institute of the Apostolic Oblates consecrated to redemptive love. A secular institute is a form of consecrated life in the Catholic Church. Members are in the world, but not of the world. Secular institutes are called to be like leaven, hidden, transforming the world from within. For more information, please go to our website at prosanctity.org. I'd like to begin our program now with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of love and holiness, you who overshadowed Mary, making her mother of the eternal Word, dwell in us and make us apostles of holiness. Amen. I'm your guest moderator. I'm Lisa Lindsay, a friend of Pro-Sanctity and the radio station here at Spirit Catholic Radio. And I have three guests here, the same guests that I had last week when we were discussing bringing the domestic church home, how we can grow a love of saints and love of the Lord and the example of holiness in our homes. So I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves. I'll start off with you, Sharon. Would you go?
Good morning, Lisa. Hi, I'm Sharon Doran, and I attend St. Margaret Mary's Parish with my husband, Steve, and we have five sons that range in age from 21 to 10.
Excellent. And then we're going to have Tammy. You can talk about, introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Tammy Hauser, and I'm a parishioner of St. Margaret Mary's. And my husband, Tracy, and I have seven children. Our oldest is 24, and our youngest is 2.
All right. And then we also have Martha Crane. And would you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yes, good morning. My name is Martha Crane, and I am also a member of St. Margaret Mary Parish in Omaha. And my husband, John, and I have seven children, so 18 to 7.
Beautiful. So we have lots of children here that are looking at us and we're trying to figure out how we can all bring them safely to heaven or lead them safely to heaven. So all of us, I'm sure we need St. Monica, that's for sure. And so for this part of our discussion, we're going to look at the chapter 6 of our Pro-Sanctity Formation Guide. A saint is a person in need of others to whom he tries to give not the excess of his goods, but all that he has. And so we're looking at ourselves and our humanity and talking about how we can leave the world behind and give ourselves up. We're going to focus on how we can surrender our lives to Christ and our lives together as family, living out our faithfulness, giving of ourselves totally, giving up of ourselves in family life, leaving the world behind and bringing the church inside of our homes. As we all know, the world is a very seductive place, and it calls to our spouses, to our children. I know in particular you may have a certain way you'd like to live your life, but your kids go to other people's houses too, don't they? And they go to school, and a lot of people may have a lot of different ideas than we do. Even in our own churches we learn that people may not be living out their faith as we would hope and as we would like. And there's a lot of other influences on the lives of our family. And particularly for people who are freshly aware of a desire to change the way they're living, I'd like to try to see what we can say or what we can suggest to help to keep them focused on living a life of holiness and leaving the world behind. In the case of, I have a particular friend who brought to my mind a defect that she had. It was a defect that she had that only showed up within her family. For instance, you know, in the world, all of her friends saw her as very charming, very nice person, and she was very loving and kind. And I think we can all think of how our family can be in disarray and everybody's upset. And then a pastor comes to the front door and knocks at the door. Suddenly, we're the model family, you know. oh, hello, you know, and suddenly everybody's back to themselves. But behind that door, what are we like and what can we do to change that those defects? And this particular friend said to me, you know, I realize that when no one is around, when I'm home taking care of my children, I'm a yeller. I want my way, and if things don't go exactly the way I want them, I start yelling. I'm yelling at the children, get down with you, you know, and a lot of, and some of the times, kind of the things aren't as holy as she would like to be, And she found that she was mimicking something that she saw in her family of origin, you know, and so she had hoped to avoid that particular defect. But she found that when she got stressed and when she felt that things weren't going the way she wanted, she had a tendency to criticize and a habit of becoming mean-tempered when she began to get worn down. And so we started talking about what could she do when she felt those things happening. And I'll say what I suggested, and then if anyone else has anything to add, that would be great. But one of the things that I suggested is that a lot of times you feel that you can't do it. Lord, I can't give up this behavior. I can't give up this spirit of meanness. But if you recall that it's not just you trying to do the particular job, it's not just on you trying to take care of your children, but it's also Jesus who is in you. And what you can't do, he can do. And if you call upon him, you call upon his name, you say, Lord, this is something, I'm so stressed out, I can't do this. Please come in and work through me. And in this way, you know, you count more on his strength instead of your own. It says, not I, but Christ who lives in me. And that is a way that you can begin to try to change those things that are ways of life that you want to change within yourself. Does anyone else have a thought on that?
Well, I'm just laughing as you're saying this because it just could be me.
It's all of us.
I grew up with a dad that was Italian, and he was very hot-tempered. And I have 7 kids, and I have some rambunctious and some high-spirited ones. And I can just have developed this sharpness. I hear it in my tone, and it's just not Christ-like. And I have to pray about it all the time. And I just have found, you know, that it's just probably never going to go away. And I've just accepted, okay. And instead of, you know, I used to be really just hate that about myself. And now I'm just saying, okay, God, you created me. And Padre Pio, I love Padre Pio. And one of the things I really like about him was could be really cranky and he was this beautiful man that had the stigmata, and he was a mystic. He could read minds and confession, and he could bilocate, and he was just this beautiful, beautiful saint. But he could also be sharp. And I remember thinking, well, okay, he was a beautiful saint that I admire that accomplished so much with his life. I just have to recognize this in myself, and I just have to give it to God and say, God, you're just going to have to help correct this in me. And it's just something that, you know, I ask for grace because I believe that I cannot accomplish anything good without Jesus, and I have to ask. Grace is ours for the asking. So I'll say, you know, I'll start off, I have deliberately incorporated into our breakfast prayer where we consecrate ourselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and we ask for the graces we need to be holy, chaste, and pure. And then we say our guardian angel and our St. Michael prayer. And then I just feel I get this layer of protection because I've consecrated myself. I've asked for the grace. Yes. I've prayed for help against, you know, evil influence. And it helps me. It will help me later in my day. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm not perfect, but I recognize it in myself, and it'll just a lot of times just I'll get that little ounce of grace and a reminder, okay, now you have a child that you've had to redirect four times. Here's where you don't get upset or don't get sharp. Just, you know, give it to God. And sometimes just that pause, that little 1 second prayer is just enough to help me, you know, temper my anger sometimes.
Oh, certainly. And I think too, you know, I mean, our family members know we're having this problem. It's not a secret to them, you know? So sometimes we can ask them to help us, you know, and you can recognize when you're feeling those things and you say, okay, children, or whoever it is, spouse, or whoever it is you need to back away from at that time, and you can say, listen, I need some time to pray and reflect on this because I'm feeling, you know, out of control and I'm not behaving the way I know that Jesus would like me to behave. And so just if you can, I'd like to take a moment. And so in this way, not only are we taking the time for ourselves, but we're also giving our children a clue of what they can do, and maybe an example of some things that they can do when they are feeling out of control or you know, angry, and they begin feeling themselves behaving in a way that they shouldn't. So
I know. Also, I would say, thank goodness we have the sacraments. We have confession,
praise God,
reconciliation,
yes,
and Eucharist to go and you stir up the grace of that baptism again, and to be forgiven and to start again. Because there's nothing that's a worse witness than living a life of duplicity.
Yes.
Saying this to
yes.
our children, do this, and then not doing it. They see by our actions so much, and so we really need to pray. And I love this in Galatians when Paul tells us what the fruits of the Spirit are. Pray for the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Mm. We really need to be in control of ourselves.
Yes.
To teach that to our children, we need to model it. And like you said, Lisa, that is not on our own strength. That comes through Christ. On our own, we fall to our fallen nature, and we fall into concupiscence, and we just can't do it alone. And so just to model that and to tell the kids to just drop to your knees maybe and say, Lord, help me, Lord, and say, kids, I'm showing an example to you that I'm struggling here. Will you pray with me? And gather them around and say, can we pray for mommy? I'm having a breakdown here.
Yeah.
You know, because it is.
Why not? They know.
Why not? Let them know that you call on the Lord for your strength and your
sure.
help. I mean, why not be, you know, transparent that way to them,
yes.
that is our strength. That
yes.
is our source of joy. That is our source of help.
That can be very powerful modeling. And I've actually implemented a couple of behavioral strategies, just really more to compensate for my personality than my children. One of them is I have this little binder of note cards where I have love, compassion, family, serving, and then they're color-coded, and it's right there on my kitchen counter, and we can just flip to them and just read a scriptural verse. So it's right there. If like somebody's been impatient, or I'll say, well, here, we just read a good scriptural verse. Why don't you read this for a second? And it's just a form of stopping right then and praying. And that's one strategy. And the other strategy is I have this little jar that I have all these colorful blessings. We call it our blessing jar. And instead of, you know, you don't have to always give a consequence or a redirection. Sometimes if a child just does, maybe they didn't share, or maybe they said something unkind, we just say, oh, sounds like a good time to go pull a blessing. And they have to go reach in the jar, and it might say, read your sister or brother a story, and or go help them make their bed, or go play a game with them. And it's just really so that it's really more in place, really because of me. So I have something to go to that I think is teaching them and implementing them to be a good Christian.
Absolutely. And I think too, you know, one of the things that I think about for our children is when I talk about how they leave our home and they go to some, now they go out, now outside the home, where they go outside and go to another person's house, and they may see things that they, or get involved with things that they shouldn't be involved with, maybe games that we wouldn't have at our house, maybe they're, I know PG-13 movies, okay, some of them, I'm not sure 13 is the correct age or any, you know, I don't even want to be seen, and maybe they get involved and see those kinds of things. So they do. I mean, they're out there in the world. How do we protect them? How do we redirect them? How do we help them to take what they're seeing that's different from what we have in our homes and allow them to process it in a way that they come back to the life of holiness or living their lives of holiness. And I guess one of the things that I do with my children is I talk about it. I hope that they'll tell me, well, Mom, I saw this movie and they were watching this and they're allowed to watch this. Why are we not allowed to watch this particular movie? And then you have to talk about, you know, what it is within that. If you know, why we don't watch those kinds of movies. And we're trying to protect our minds and we're trying to protect our hearts. And, you know, we're putting on our shield of faith. And so, but they're going to be involved in a lot of those, especially when they get into, I have a child and this is on my mind because he's going to high school next year. And the kids are older and maybe involved in some things that I may not be on the same page with. And so I'm trying to think of ways in which I can help them to continue to have that heart for holiness and that life of holiness that I have in my home outside of the home. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? Anybody who's got kids heading to high school or high school children that they may have an idea for protecting those children as they go into high school?
Go ahead, Martha, please.
One of the things that Tammy brought up that I do with my family every day, I try to do it every morning, kind of as my husband leaves to work and my children are out the door, they kind of go at different times. But as soon as everybody's gone, usually with the last one, as I watch them walk away, I consecrate first my husband and I in our marriage to the Sacred and Immaculate Heart. And then I go through and I name each child. Oh. And I place each, and I try to always to incorporate a visual with it and try to really see each one of them entering into that beautiful place where there's safety and love, and place them there. And you know, when the prayer is Sacred Heart of Jesus and Immaculate Heart of Mary,
yes.
I place all my trust in you. And so knowing that it's not me and it's nothing that I can do, but that God will put the right people maybe in the right places or that stir the grace in their own hearts. But somehow there is a real security because we live in a world that we have a lot of fears. There's a lot of things that we're afraid of for our children, what they're going to see, what they're going to be exposed to, what they're going to learn at school, all the things that we don't have control over. And so it's just kind of in putting that into safety, because that's the safest place to be is in the Sacred Heart. And so that gives me a real peace every day. And then I can kind of, that's my first prayer of the day, really. It's just, that's how I start, just to get everything in right order.
Martha, along those same lines, I've, instead of grumbling about picking up laundry and making beds, I go around bedroom to bedroom, and while I'm making that kid's bed, I pray for that child. And I've, or picking up their laundry, I'm praying for that kid instead of grumbling about, why didn't they throw this into the laundry basket? And why do I just started changing my whole mindset and praying for each kid individually, and even using holy water when I feel, you know, as a mother in your gut when maybe one is going a wrong direction, and taking holy water and blessing their pillow and saying, come Holy Spirit, as he rests on this pillow tonight, fill his mind with you, fill his, and then just in general teaching them to treat their bodies as temples of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And they have free will and free choice, and they'll do what they want when they're away from us, but if they know that their body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and to honor it. And I think theology of the body is just a incredible way to start with teens, going through some of that with them, and it can really be helpful.
Well, I got a great idea from Martha here when just for a reminder to your children that, and she did this in her home and I thought this was so beautiful. Her kids were leaving out the door and she said, remember, you're a daughter of a king. Or you're a son of a king.
Oh,
and
great.
That was the last thing they heard from her. And I just was like, how beautiful is that? Just that, how powerful could that be in their day when they, who knows what choice they might be presented with? And if that just resounded in their mind, it just might be the one reminder they would need to choose the good path that day.
Right. The awareness, living in the awareness that they're royalty, that they're a child of the creator of the universe, and to instill that into them, that they're more than what just meets the eye, and that there's a value there in each one of them.
I think along the same lines, I have my brother-in-law gave me this idea, and I've been talking to my children about it. with their dates. I don't know if he did. He had one son and four daughters. So I know with every daughter, I haven't asked him about the son. If the boy wanted to date his daughter, he had to come in and he had to be able to come in and say to him, you know, I would like to date your daughter. Would that be okay with you? And him doing that with his daughters gave them a real sense of their value, of their worth. And so that seems to me as a good way of letting, especially girls who tend to, they're very relationship oriented and they want to, and they're very aware of how they look and who's looking at them often. That's kind of a way I think that they can learn about their value and as being daughters of the king, as you say. Another thing I know, I had a friend who was a teacher tell me is, when she would have things going on in the classroom, and I thought this was a good idea for my children too, if they begin to hear things that they find may be influenced by the evil one or something that's very counter to our faith, and you hear somebody promoting this on, you know, and you have to listen because you're in this classroom and they're talking this. One of the things she said she began to do is spiritual warfare. She used to begin to, she would pray the St. Michael prayer and she would pray the Hail Mary. And these are things that our children can do. They may not be able to stop the class or, you know, they may not be able to stop the event, but they can, to protect themselves, we can teach them to pray, you know, during those times. Pray the St. Michael prayer and pray the Hail Mary. And this particular friend, as a teacher who prayed this, she said the gal, I won't say who she is, but she said the gal who was doing this this speech suddenly started crying and ran out of the room. So, we do believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe and we need to call on all of our resources during these times. And our children need to learn this as well. So these are all wonderful ideas about things that a person can do. I also think that getting involved, if you're somebody, especially somebody new, who is just beginning to try to live out a life of holiness, I try to look back and think, and I'd like you too to think, what were some of the first things that you did to begin to turn your life? What things were helpful to you? I'll start with you, Sharon.
I'm going to go with the Bible.
Okay.
I'm a Bible girl. I noticed as we were visiting before the show, each of us have different passions. I am passionate about God's Word because it is living and active, and it's His revelation to us. It is God's Word. It's to me, I don't need any other parenting books. I mean, if there's one book I could tell you to buy, it's buy a Bible and open it and read it. Teach your kids the stories. They're exciting. Read the Old Testament to your children. Every character has virtues and character issues that you could discuss. It's full. It's my plumb line. Whenever I have a problem with a kid, I think, what does God's Word say? What does God's Word say? And something always comes. But you have to study it. And God tells us to use our minds. Faith and reason do not have to be separated. Serve Him with all your mind, all your strength, all your heart, and all your mind. In the New Testament, that's added to Deuteronomy, to all your mind. So use your mind. Study God's Word. Know it. Know how to follow it and live it. To me, it's my plumb line as a parent.
Oh, that's beautiful. And Tammy?
Well, I agree with Sharon. I mean, the Bible is just living, and it's just a living prayer, and it's a tool, and God has given us a lot of tools, and we're really blessed as Catholics because we have the grace of the reconciliation and the Eucharist, and then also, you know, the rosary. I mean, for me, my conversion was founded with the rosary and the Blessed Mother. I mean, she just hastened my conversion. She just got me to a place that I never could have got to so quickly on my own. And because of her, my whole life is different. And she just completely just took me in her arms and just brought me right at the foot of the cross to her son. And so, you know, whenever I'm really struggling or if I just want grace, you know, I just ask, if I don't have time to pray the rosary, I just say, you know, Blessed Mother, please be with me. You know your son better than I. Please teach me how to be a good mother. Teach me how to be holy. Teach me who I should serve today.
Amen. That's beautiful. And Martha, do you have any suggestions?
Yes, this question kind of is getting me excited because I love my faith so much. And I look at, like what Sharon said, that there's so many things in our faith. We have so much depth and so much richness. We have sacraments, we have scripture, we have devotions. And another thing that we have that I love is music, and music stirs the soul. God uses it to stir our soul, and he reaches us through so many ways. He reaches all of us in unique ways. We're all individual and different, and we're all at a different time in a different place. But for somebody who's in the beginning, I think that one of the great things that I would say, like any relationship, is talk, spend time with God, get to know him, because in getting to know God, he's going to open our lives up in so many ways that we never, you know, that we would never have dreamed of. But it's important to take the time. The time is crucial. We have to give time to God every day. Yes. And to have spontaneous prayer, if you're not comfortable with prayers that are recited or rosaries, start with just talking to God and just listening and just and praising the Lord. Because when we start to praise the Lord, and however, through music or prayer or, you know, gazing into nature and your children or your husband or whatever it is, God will draw you right from that, and he will pull you in, into the beauty of his love. And it's beautiful. And so to anybody who's new into the spiritual life, it's an adventure and it's a thrill, and you won't want to turn back because there's such beauty there. And don't be distracted. You know, clear this distractions away as much as you can to just really focus on God's love for you and for your family.
It's very personal, isn't it, Martha? Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, he is interested in your, every hair on your head is counted, and he's very interested in you specifically as a person, your needs down to your smallest needs. It's amazing what God will do to you, do for you and with you and with your life and what happens all around. If you turn your heart to him, mm-hmm. and begin to live out that call to holiness in your life, and begin to ask him what you should do, and he'll put people in your pathway and he'll draw you together. And one day you'll turn on the radio program and you'll be listening, and there'll be somebody telling you about how to live your life of holiness. And we're grateful today that if you're turning on the radio right now and we're listening to us, and we're grateful to be able to share our experiences with you. And I'd like to thank my guests, Sharon Doran and Tammy Hauser and Martha Crane, for sharing their lives and their experiences with our audience today. This is the end of our show, and as always, for more information on ProSanctity, you can go to our website, which is www.prosanctity.org. You can find out more information on our apostolate, including information on exploring a vocation as an oblate and any of our upcoming activities. So once again, that's prosanctity.org. And finally, I'm going to close with a prayer, and this prayer is the excerpt from the ProSanctity prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, divine Master, who came down from heaven, give us the desire to be heroic in every virtue, and the trust to attain holiness with the help of Mary, your mother, and our mother. Amen. Thank you very much, ladies, and God bless you.
You've been listening to Holiness Helpers on Spirit Catholic Radio. To find out more about the ProSanctity movement, visit their website, www.prosanctity.org.
The ProSanctity motto, Tutti Santi, Tutti Fratelli, all saints, all brothers and sisters.